Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
My guest this week is probably best known for her portrayal as Brittany the Bank Teller in the video game Escape from Monkey Island. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Maria Bamford.
Oh my God. The preparation that went into that that piece, you know, and I wasn't the star. The star is the whole production itself. You know, when you see that list of credits go by, it's not just about me. Thank you for remembering that I did.
It's good. Well, it's very in the UK. That's people are mad for that. So you'll be when you come over here, which I know you are very shortly. You'll be swamped. Do the voice, do the catchphrase. It's all going to be good. It's lovely to have you back. We've tried to get in touch with you a couple of times. The last time we tried to talk to you, you had a plumbing emergency.
I wanted
to
check, and it's check still, that was okay. It's still ongoing.
Oh, no.
Yes. We now have water again, but for about 7 days, we did not have water, which is somehow shameful, even though it's not
I did. Not your fault.
I showered at a few of our neighbors, and they're like, anyways, it was, people were very kind.
Oh, well, you'll be leaving your home soon to come to England.
Yes, leave so that all the
we have showers here. We have baths, we have showers. Hopefully it will work when you're here. Do you want to talk to about what is the new tour? Is it a brand new show? Is it new material?
Well, yes. Oh my gosh, for sure, new material. The theme seems to be that I would like to be a part of something, no matter what it is, even if it is I don't understand what I have joined.
Okay.
I've been a part of a few cults over time, and and I still belong. I love religion. I love being a part of my family, which is also a cult.
they have
very odd practices and beliefs that somehow they adhere to, despite the community outcry. So, so that is the theme, is this wanting to be a part of things.
Well, great. Well, it's lovely to have... Good, but to being involved, which, you know, the podcasts are very much cults, and our audience are cults, and every single one of them. So you're very welcome here, I'll go through the dates because it's very soon. We're going to put this out on Wednesday, and so we're looking at April the 21st in Dublin.
Yes.
Tell me if I miss any out. If there's any new ones, April the 25th in Glasgow.
Yes.
April the 27th in Birmingham, April the 28th in Manchester, and the 30th in London. What venue are you playing in London?
Oh, you know? King Earth, and it's already sold out. They may do another. They may add another show, and then we're doing Amsterdam and Rotterdam. If you have any listeners there.
Yeah, that we certainly do. So that would be terrific. Well, come and see, if there are any tickets, come and see that show. I was watching. I watched. I listen to it? I listened to the Audible book of your show, which is fantastic, and you are a comedy special as well. I learned how to be a comedian by listening to your step by step instruction. How to write an hour. It's good. I mean. Because, you know, you can't really instruct people on how to do that.
I think you can, from what the reviews that the one star reviews I've gotten on the Audible book, I guess you can. There's a couple people who are doing it. My thing was anything. The most important thing about doing stand up comedy is to call it stand up comedy.
Yeah.
Whatever you're doing, fill the hour and then keep calling it.
Well, and I also like you're a very collaborative stand-up, which I don't know if it's unusual. It feels unusual to me. And certainly when I write my specials, or my, which are usually 90 minutes or more, I go into myself and I don't let anyone really know what I'm doing until I perform it. But your suggestion is to find anybody at all to just say it to.
Well, yeah, I'm a theatrical performer, so I like to learn. Yeah. I like to rehearse it over and over again. The reason I need to have a witness, and it can just be one person, and they don't have to laugh. There's no requisites for laughing. It's just so that I'll say the words over and over again. And also because I have no more ambition, and I can't get myself to do it by myself.
Okay. Yeah, well, I think that it is the problem with being a stand-up comedian, doing stand-up comedy, and when people email you and ask you how you do it, you just have to do it, right? You just have to, you're prevaricating by even asking, which you talk about in the book as well, by even listening to an audiobook of how to be a comedian, it's sort of an act of prevarication or procrastination.
Yeah, what are you doing? Why don't you start talking to yourself into a microphone and be in the process? You've just wasted another 5 minutes not doing stand-up comedy by listening to this audiobook.
But the book is very enjoyable, whether you want to be a stand-up comedian or not. I think there's plenty of stuff in there. I think it's letting people know the reality of what being a comedian is. And I know that's difficult different in America than it is to the UK, because, of course, the travelling is so much more different. When you're going around America, it's long distances where we can sort of drive everywhere in the UK.
Right. But you, and or this is the thing I find amazing about UK, Australia, is that everyone does a full new hour every year and then goes to Edinburgh, and that then that isn't always recorded. People don't then sell that as merch. US, we're always creating new merch to sell at shows or coups. Do you sell merch after shows?
I do, but I'm unusual in because of Chris Evans, who you have met, who's recording us. He set up a production company which will record stand-up shows of people who wouldn't usually get a deal, or people he liked. So I've actually recorded all of my shows. I even went back and picked up a couple that I hadn't recorded and then retoured them and redid them. So that I do have them all. So I was selling them as DVDs, but no one has DVDs anymore, Maria. That's what you're selling them on.
Or do they? Or do they? Well, there's also the, I mean, you can sell them as sort of a coaster after the show.
Yeah.
Or, you know, as a some sort of collectible. We've got a VHS store that just opened. VHS tape. I don't know if the UK ever had VHS tapes.
We did. We had VHS.
Oh, okay. In Los Angeles. So it is going so retro that I'm, you know, because comics are selling records now. So
yeah, that's happening.
Anyways, any way to bring in the cash. I prefer panties with my tour dates on the crotch. I will not be having those, only just because of the luggage, the weight.
Yeah, it's a lot to carry. Well, the panties would be good because they're light. I sell books, but they're a lot to lug around now. But books are hard to carry around.
Yeah, books.
Great numbers.
Oh God, books.
Look at all these. I've got loads of. I've got all these books. Hundreds of books. I've just writing another one.
No.
Yeah, but they do sell, so they're just about worth doing. I was thinking a lot about you a lot during lockdown because you sort of were doing lockdown comedy before everybody else was in lockdown. You would last time I talked to you at the Leicester Square, you were lovely and fantastic to come down to the Leicester Square Theatre for us. We were talking about how you were performing shows to tiny audiences of one person in a coffee shop.
I still do.
That became the reality for us all. So did you know it was coming? Did you see it coming?
Yes, I have a godlike aerial view. No, I didn't know, but Zoom is my favorite in terms of human interaction. It's communicating and yet not having to be in the same space. Not that I don't love human beings in theory. there's something wonderful about it where you can just completely develop your material on your own. What do I find funny without hearing any response at all? Just making myself laugh. So in that way, it was good. Also, you could have the biggest. I got the biggest audiences I've ever performed for when over the quarantine. Yes, millions died.
It does suit your. It does suit your style because I think you know it. I was thinking how hard it might have been or must have been for you starting out, not only because in the early days and still to this extent. Audiences can be suspicious of female comedians, but also because your style is so individual that like it must take to an audience who doesn't know you, which maybe you don't play to anymore, it must take a little while for people to tune in to what's going on.
Yes, no, people are upset, irritated, angry. I'm a tiny little lady, so nobody usually rushes the stage, though I've had people get on stage. And that was I thought that was the best thing about that Academy Awards thing was that, that even security would not, stop to slap the comedian. I've had people come up on stage to give me hugs, large men to, you know, is anybody, no one's gonna, all right. But now it's less likely just because people do check on social media or watch YouTube to, you know, watch their comedian before they go see them. Please, if there's any message to change the world, please Google your comedian before you go see them. I am not a good time. If you want, oh my God, let's have a good time tonight. Nope. Stop yourself. Say, what else might be fun? Axe throwing. Do you guys do that over there? We have that over there.
Yeah, some axe throwing. Yeah.
Okay, axe throwing. Why don't you do that instead? What I'm going to do is a lot of kind of cumbersome, verbose monologuing in different characters that aren't from your life, are not recognizable from any pop culture point of view. And then talk about mental illness, probably suicide, and then it's going to be done. And you're going to say, what? What? But you won't say that. You'll say it in a regional accent of the UK that I will not attempt.
Okay. It's incredible stuff, Marie. You're an absolutely brilliant comedian. In the special I was listening to, you were talking about mediocrity and seeing yourself as a mediocre, which I love, because, you know, mediocrity is a very important, it's very important there are mediocre comedians, because otherwise how are the good comedians going to shine above that if everyone's brilliant?
You've got to have a shit example from which greatness can be determined. Yeah. And if I can be that for everyone.
Well, what I love about it, and I think as a comedian, it's a really important step. And it's, I think even now, I've been doing this for 30 years or whatever, how long I've been doing it, I still sometimes wimp out. But you absolutely sort of seem to do, you're very true to yourself and you do what you think is funny and what you want to talk about. And I saw you on the clip from the James Corden show, which is an incredible 5 minutes of stand-up about your mum and your mum's death. And to play that to an audience who, you know, I to not disparage James Corden for once in my life, I'm not expecting his audience to be ready for that. But it was such a bold choice, but it was amazing.
Well, and all blessings to James Corden, because what he does before the comic goes up and it's not on camera is he explains it's 5 p.m. Pacific time. You don't feel like laughing because you're not at a comedy club and you're at this show and you want to see something goofy. This person has, please amp it up. You know, so he does a whole cheerleading thing. Yeah. Before the comic goes on, so I think that affects it as well, because that set bombed several times before I did it on James Corden IRL in real life.
Yeah, but it's bold, you know, it's a bold choice. You're talking about death and cancer and and inheriting your mum's vibrators, which is a funny subject, there's no denying that. But yeah, is that something you're doing in the current stand-up show?
Yes.
Is that part of the show?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
you'll hear those hot takes.
well, people should go and check out that. You know, again, if they haven't seen you, which they should, check out everything, because it's amazing. And as with all good comedians, once you're in the world, you're immersed in the world. If it scares you at the start,
don't do it to yourself. It's the one freedom we have left in society. Choose your comedian wisely.
Yeah.
Oh, and if you come, let's say somebody drags you there because they're a big fan, and you say to yourself, oh my God, I feel ill or pissed. I once went to an improv show, Richard, where I was so angry that I started involuntarily stamping my feet. And I said to myself, get out, Marianna. You have a choice in life. Yeah. And I did. And that's the great thing, is that you can always leave a comedy show.
But don't. Course, I mean, you're not a mediocre comedian, unfortunately, as much as you'd like to say you are. You're absolutely up there with the best, because it's so individual and it's so true to you, and it's great. And I played Montreal and I saw a lot of American comedians who were really properly mediocre, a lot. And you're so far and away. Also, there's a lot of mediocre comedians in America, as there are everywhere.
Well, I think that we also have to get into the philosophy of, you know, what is mediocrity? What does that mean? You know, what's your definition in terms of, is that which pleases the most? Or is it that which, when everybody's drunk can understand?
Yeah.
Then, you know, because I think that I am a terrible deliverer of stuff that after you've had 4 beers, I'm not going to give you concepts that you're going to follow. but other comics might be able to do that for you and get you involved too. The crowd work. I love the art form of crowd work. I am an introverted person and I get a little scared when I get eye contact with other people. So, that's not my game, but I love it myself. And I do admire the art form of comedy from all of our colleagues.
I agree. I do agree. And I do. I do love all kinds of comedy, but it's there's just something very special. We'll come back to it. There's so many things you've been up to, and I don't think I talked about a lot of them, but some of them are more recent. In fact, on the day I was meant to interview last, the bubble the yes. new film came out, and I saw a clip of you in the bubble. I thought, oh great, well I'll watch the bubble to see this.
Oh, God.
This looks like a great character. And I'd seen the, I watched the whole of the bubble to interview you, and the only bit you're in is the bit that's in the clip of you.
2 seconds. I know. I feel so bad. I felt bad. But it was a good movie, right? I mean, it was fun.
Well, it's a pretty good concept, fun. I think. Yeah, it's a, I was thinking, I filmed a film in lockdown in a bubble, and you're kind of thinking, that's going to be... Like that's a really, you know, the behind the scenes. I mean, it goes off in quite a lot of different directions. It's very great cast and very. I would like to see more of your character. You play the mother of a kind of YouTube influencer, I thought very strong. What did you record a lot more?
Yes, but it's okay. It's okay, and. But Judd Apatow, he's actually producing, he's going to do my next special doc and he's really? Doing like a part documentary special thing. I don't even know what it is.
Oh, brilliant.
So that's something nice that's come out of that. And,
had you worked with him before or was that the first time? Yeah.
Yeah, I have worked. He agreed to do Lady Dynamite, which was a show for a couple seasons. And he, you know, it played himself on those parts. And I think I was a comedian in, let me see, there was a movie he did about comedians.
Yes, there was with Adam Sandler. Was it that one?
Yes, maybe it was. I am terrible at remembering what is or what is not. I'm not a good promoter of my own career. Anyways,
you crop up in a lot of things. I have two young kids, so I've seen you as Pat the Mad Scientist in Storybots.
Oh, yes.
Which you won,
yes.
Did you win an Emmy for that performance?
I got an Emmy nomination.
Just amazing.
Which was unbelievable. And it was in a very odd category, like short form children's science based, like it was like, very specific. Is that a new category? I think so. And do a lot of voiceover. I don't know if you guys get Big Mouth over there with Netflix, Human Resources. Those are both, I'm on both those. Adventure Time, I did a bunch of voices on that. The show that I did for a couple of seasons, Lady Dynamite, is my main offering. Or the YouTube series, The Mary Bamford Show, which I think is one of my best productions, though low 25 years ago. There I have many things to offer on the YouTubes.
Well, that's the amazing thing about in America, it seems, like if you can get into, like a lot of comedians do a lot of acting work or voiceover work as well as everything else. So if you can get into that, it's often because some of those jobs are like a day, obviously, and some of them are much more involved.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
Sometimes 5 minutes. And it's union. So it pays the same amount. Oh my God. I love it so much. And there's a reason to live in Los Angeles, and that is cash cow. Of course, there are fires and floods, let's not worry about it because it's not today. It's not today. Our neighbors, when we moved in, they said, "Oh, the fire never jumps Alta Loma," which is a certain road right near us. I was like, "Does the fire know that?" The fire never jumps Alta Loma.
It's got boundaries. It knows where it's allowed to go.
It starts because it knows. We've got a pool.
And what's your ailment as well? Was that a YouTube series?
It was a YouTube series. I think it's on actually another, it's on an internet segment. Oh, God, why don't I don't know where my own stuff
is. You know who you are.
I don't know who I am. What am I most proud of? My marriage.
Yeah.
You can't see that unless it's right here. But you're welcome to come over. We live in Altadena, California.
Thank you.
I'm usually at the coffee shop at Lake in Altadena Drive. It's called Cafe de Leche. Please stop by. I will do a show for you.
Yeah.
If you are good. And what I mean good means you won't mock me. And you'll listen politely.
But you do talk about your family, obviously, with your mother's death. That's a big subject to talk about in your stand-up. And you do talk about your husband good deal.
Yes, yes. My husband, just kind of handling the pandemic. My husband and I found out we have a hobby in common. And over the pandemic, and it's one that we developed in different parts of the country around the same time, around 10 years of age, and that is longing for death. Suicidal ideation, it does eat the clock. I don't recommend it. We're trying to replace it with a book club. But one day, we were both feeling terribles, and I looked at him and I said, "Hey, what are you thinking about?" And he said, "What are you thinking about?" Oh, no! Oh, no. But don't worry about us. We have a signed document that we got from the suicide prevention people where we've written out our names. I, Maria, will not commit suicide. I will call these three people first. Nothing prevents self-harm faster than paperwork. It's in a magnetized chip clip on the front of our refrigerator. So if ever you come over and help yourself to a Cran-Raz LaCroix, I don't know if you guys have those, or Spindrifts.
They sound good.
Okay, they're so good. It's flavored water. We're running out of water, but let's flavor it. You know we're okay. Anyways, you know we're okay.
But is it important to you to talk about the mental illness, or do you just think that that's what you have to talk about? Do you feel like by discussing it, it's helping people, or is it just the material?
It helps me. It helps me. Also, like, I do think... Like, yeah, just in terms of, like, I think I had shame for first of, you know, having any kind of mental health issue. And then to also be in a relationship where we're both on the bipolar spectrum, and how embarrassing that really is. Like, oh, we're both, wet pillow pets. Like, we're just, that can be embarrassing, and like just embracing it and saying, oh, this is normalizing, that it's okay to talk about it. And yeah, we do have one of those preventative things supposed to help, that if you've written something out, you signed it, had your therapist look at it, like a I don't know, some sort of a court justice, that it's supposed to help. So I find it meaningful to talk about, and also funny.
But it, you know, it is, you do make it funny, and but it is also, you know, it's because it's so open and honest. It's frightening to me as someone who likes you to hear you talking about those, even having those ideas. You know, it's upsetting to me, but it's also funny to hear you talking about it.
It's also like, well, then the great thing is that it's not a surprise. Like if I, like you go to, you know, if I've talked about it, and you know, let's say I see you at a club or whatever, and I'm having a terrible day, or you know, if I were in a place. Like someone would call an ambulance. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like the whole thing of like keeping things a secret, like, underground, I'm fine. Then it's just so much more likely to happen, I think. I think, whenever you mention suicide, you're supposed to text TALK to 741-741 in the US. I'm sure you have the equivalent in the GB.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
In the U.S., it is not always a great idea to call 911 or the cops, because sometimes you can get killed. So what I've started doing, call anybody. I called Hertz Rent-A-Car, a small business in my city, South Pasadena, California. They picked up on the first ring. I told her what was going on. She said, "I only lease cars." But before hanging up on me, she did say, But I do believe every human life has value. You take care. Come on. That's not bad. I mean, not bad. Free, yeah. Shitty health care available to you now in yeah. the U.S. Also, I've taken to calling the anti-abortion people. All their literature says life is a gift. Have them prove it to you. Hi. Yeah, no, I'm not pregnant, but my mother was about 51 years back. Yeah, no, she kept it. And what is the plan? What's the plan now? I'd like to be placed in a loving home. Anyways, like, just that, and at least in the U.S., I don't know what it's like there, but like our suicide hotlines sometimes have a 20 to 90 minute wait right. time God. During. So it's like,
yeah,
just to not feel like you're gaslighting people when you say, you get out there and you ask for help, you know, it's like, yeah. or use your insurance, your employees, you know, says we have help. And it's like, the reality is sometimes you call for, you know, even if you have insurance in the U.S., and you will not be seen for 4 months. And you got to have cash. You got to have money. So I just go to a Taco Bell drive-thru, see if somebody in there has taken a community college class in psychology.
Well, you know, but I think it's obvious, like comedians come from different places and some of them don't come from anxiety or mental illness or but a lot of us
no,
a lot
many
of us
don't yes
many,
many
don't but a lot of them do, but it's I think it's a great way to channel that, but also to help yourself and express it to other people. And I think it's one of the, you know, suicide's something that, you know, people might not like jokes about, not that you're doing jokes about it, but you're being humorous about it.
Well, there's a difference between some telling a joke about something that you haven't experienced.
Yeah, yeah.
I've attempted suicide. I've been in a psychiatric ward. I feel like I get to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like if somebody's gonna talk down to, you know, like saying I think that's when it's, you know, punching down that type of thing. Or talking about something that you have not experienced so much. I want to hear a really good premise. Like if you haven't experienced it before, then, you know, like for example, Chris Rock, like you just go, that was a very thrown off joke. Like, why, you know, I, at least for me as a comedian, I go, I want it there to be some sort of like meaningful reason that you're bringing it up. But that's, of course, that's a definitely a personal thing.
I think it's so important. I think it, obviously anyone goes through the same thing. I think it's good. It's just the minute you know anybody else is in anywhere near the same boat, I think that is so helpful. Because I think especially with things like that, where you're lonely or you're sad or you're suicidal, you feel like you're the only person in the world who's going through it, and you feel like everyone else is having a great time. And I think is that someone like you is a very successful person and a very famous person to know that that can happen to you as well. I think it is a help as well.
Well, and that it's not like, and that people, you know, when somebody commits suicide in your friends or family, like how devastating that is. And that you aren't able to talk about it. Like you don't get the same kind of grieving as, you know, people usually go, you know, like it's kind of a weird salacious thing. And it's like, yeah, no, there's also, I don't really, none of this stuff is funny that I've just been blabbing about. but I appreciate material told by people about experiences that I don't have, somebody else has had. I've heard a couple comics with schizoaffective disorder recently or schizophrenia talking about that experience, which has been so helpful. Like, oh my God, like, yeah, that's what I love about the internet is like just that we're getting to have so many different perspectives. You know, I mean, still in the U.S., it's mostly white male perspectives throughout comedy clubs. About 90% all clubs still have white male headliners, features, and openers. But at the very least, the internet and YouTube is wide open, and everybody is has a chance, and that's really great.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And you're a very nice person, Maria. I think you're a very kind person. Even when you came and did the show last time, I know you'd sort of just arrived in town and you walked across town to come and do my podcast, which I was very grateful about. And I love it on your Twitter. In your bio, it says tickets are usually $30. If low on dollars and can't afford it, email me, which is a very nice. Do people take you up on that offer?
Yes,
I always sort of
sure.
say that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Oh my God, Christ! If you desperately want to come to the show, that is the person I want at the show.
Sure.
I would rather not have your money or save your money for, of course, the 2-drink minimum that may be a problem. But I will also I'll also spot you on that if it is truly hard times. I'd rather have a wonderful, happy audience than have, it's definitely worth it to me. And no one's taken advantage. No one said, can I have 73 tickets? I'm not that popular of a comedian. So I think that's the answer. I can be very generous when my fan base is quite small.
I do this. I don't have it in my Twitter bio, but I do the same thing. But I think, you know, it sort of pays forward anyway, because hopefully, you know, they'll do something similar for someone else. But I think often I've found it's other people who are going to go on and become comedians. They want to go and see comedy and they can't afford to go and see comedy. And then down the line, they'll go, you know, so it's, I've found it very, yeah, exactly. And if there are spare seats, which again, there usually are in my gigs, it seems crazy not to have people to come in. I'm going to ask you some stupid questions because we've had a nice, serious chat and we'll go back to talking seriously. I did put a couple on this book and turned over the page and don't know that's that because I'm looking at the wrong copy. Here we go. If you could change one thing about the human body, which one thing would you change? About yourself.
No, I'd like everyone to be able to have a pocket, like a skin pocket.
Yeah.
Where you could keep stuff you'd never lose. You'd never lose certain things, you know, like you'd have this little skin pocket. I would think around the waist, maybe. Nice so you can reach in there, because a lot of women's clothing don't come with pockets.
Yeah, Rachel Paris's new book, which is a very good British comedian, talks about exactly this, that for the men do get pockets. And women's pockets are, if they're there, are too small to put anything in.
Yeah. It's true. It's painful.
Yeah.
And we're facing it now.
I mean, the kangaroo is ahead of you. So the you'd like to sort of have a kangaroo arrangement where they've got a big pocket there.
That, now that you made the dream bigger,
yeah.
that that a large, that would be nice.
Yeah.
It would be, or like a backpack, like a skin backpack. Yeah. I don't know. It's that or a shelf, like a shelf that you had. I don't know, just to...
A shelf would be good for parties, just keeping your drink, just you could put your drink,
on it, you know, and I know some people have some, if you had bigger breasts, that's a shelf, all right, okay.
You get a big tummy, I've got quite a big tummy again, I could work on that and push that in. All right, here's another conundrum for you. Would you rather live in the 17th century or the 23rd century? You don't get to check out what the 23rd century is going to be like, so it could be much worse. You would know everything you know now, whichever direction you head in. So you could either be the greatest inventor, philosopher, scientist, author of the 1600s, or the stupidest person in the 23rd century.
Well, I'm a woman, so yeah. I'd be dead by 15. I say 17th then. I say, just have a terrible pregnancy and... out like a light, like, you know, like, just that it would be neat to see things, even though I'm sure it was just filthy and stinky and not a lot of fun, but I could do it. 15 years.
I don't think you go necessarily back to being a baby. I think it would be you now. I think so, you know. But
you're saying me as a 51-year-old woman.
Yeah, you're going back to the 17th century. Yeah.
With my teeth, the teeth I have now?
Yeah.
Okay, 50%. Okay, well, yeah. If I, man, I would only last for about 2 months because I need my meds. So I don't know. I would still say 17th century just because I am afraid. I am afraid of the future.
Yeah. Well, it's safe. I mean, if you're allowed to study a bit beforehand, you could probably work out where best to go. But like, I think I'm not sure there's going to be much going on in the 23rd century.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope it will be. It could be, it's a shame we die, isn't it? But it's also, you know, I mean, in the long run, it's a good thing. But
yeah,
it'd be nice to see how things turn out and how the story ends.
Well, I think we're seeing it though.
We might
see it. Feels prescient.
Yeah, feels like we're heading in that direction. What else? I won't ask you that question. I don't think I asked you this before. Forgive me if I did. But if all the world's art galleries and museums said, we love Maria Bamford and we think she's great, you can have one thing from any museum or art gallery in the world and it's yours to keep, what would you like to have? It can be a art or just a historical artifact or anything. Is there anything you'd like? It's a big question.
Wow. That is really... could I steal all the stuff that was stolen from...
You could take stuff that was stolen and give it back.
Re-steal it?
Give it back? Elgin Marbles?
Well, maybe not give it back. Maybe just keep it. Just kind of be the new stealer.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean, they can't complain. They can't just go, like, hey, you're stealing our stuff we've stolen.
Don't let anybody have a good time. No one rejoice. I'll keep it in a U-Haul.
And I don't want to be too... I mean, we've talked about depressing subjects, but I have a question where I ask, do you think the picture that will feature in your obituary, Maria, has already been taken? Or do you think it is a photo yet to come? And if it has been taken, what do you think it is?
Well, for sure, it's the youngest one.
Right.
I always take the... That just bums me out. I mean... Let me see. What would it be? I mean, I think it's going to be the headshot that they always put up, and I believe it was from 2005.
Right.
I have very long blonde hair. It's sort of a misty portrait with me smiling in two different ways. And I think that's going to be it. Yeah,
it's hard to think of it actually. You've done so many things, it's sort of hard to think of what would be like the defining role necessarily. I suppose Lady Dynamite maybe, but there's so many options for you, I think, from the past and I think from the future as well, Maria, to be honest. But some people go, yeah, there's going to be a picture of you from that show.
If an obituary is like the Albany Funny Bone, they're going to try to get the hottest looking picture of me.
Okay. Well, I'm sure they will.
Who's this bag of bones and hank of hair?
I saw you were on Cameo as well, which I like to talk to people about. Do you get a lot of business on Cameo?
I do enough where it's like it's a nice thing to do, and it kind of makes me feel useful on some level. I mean, I've thought about going back to grad school a billion times for a number of different possibilities. I did try to be in the LAPD, the Los Angeles Police Department, in my 30s. I did not make the cut. to feel useful is helpful. So I do charge people. I believe it's $150.
See, I'd like that, Maria, because you're valuing yourself. My problem with Cameo is often I think people they've set the price too low. They may get more money doing it that way, but it feels like they've cheapened themselves. If it's $30 or $40, I feel like, no, just go into three figures. Don't go into four figures, but go into four figures.
Well, if you're an extrovert then go for it. But I can't do too many of them. And then, but they're really nice. Yeah, because sometimes it can be, because it's people who are specific fans, they, it's like, it's things that are pretty intense. Like, I just got a diagnosis. I'm still having episodes of psychosis. There are still some dragons. There's still dragons. Could you give me a pep talk? Yes, I can.
Oh, cool.
What are those dragons saying? And write it down.
Yeah.
It makes you feel useful. And
it sort of connects. I mean, it's sort of a good and a bad thing. I don't know. I mean, I think the way you're talking about it is a very good thing, but it's a connection to your audience, which I think in the past people would have been a bit more scared about doing. I don't know. It's sort of, I guess, because the internet's opened things up anyway. 30 years ago, you'd have thought, I'm not going to let anyone talk to me on a phone call or something. I don't know.
Well, and the app makes it very safe for me. Like, I can turn stuff down. Like, just a couple situations where someone wanted me to do something, I was like, so I can definitely turn it down and all that jazz. And I will also do it for free. You just have to find me in person.
Yes. Well, I sort of feel that about, I don't get asked that much about this sort of thing, but I sort of, when people say, can you say happy birthday to my friend, I just say, if you can give like £10 to charity, I'll do that. You don't need to come through an app. No. I don't mind doing those sort of things. I'm a very lonely person. I'm stuck up here on my computer anyway.
Yes, that is part of it as well, as the deep loneliness that is a well that has no bottom.
And so in your tour of Europe, I suppose we'll call it, selected parts of Europe, do you get much downtime from that, or is it just town to town?
Yeah, taking a couple of days in between every city, I think,
Great.
Or at least one day. And so taking it easy.
Are you going to plan to do stuff, or are you just going to stay in your hotels and
TV? Well, we're going to probably go to every art museum that is available to us. My husband is a painter, so he loves going to museums, and I love going to museums.
Yeah.
I also love going to gift shops. I like to get a fancy pen and a pad of paper and then pretend that I too am an artist.
Well, you are an artist, and you know, it's It's fantastic stuff you're doing. It's always massively enjoyable to talk to you, because then I just get to watch loads of your stuff. You know, admittedly, the bubble that you weren't in much. I did watch it. I watched Human Resources. I enjoyed that. I'm trying to work out whether there's. I didn't see this one. You've played Mrs. Claus in Santa Inc. What would that?
Santa so Inc. Played, yes.
Yeah. What was that
very
role?
Saucy. It's a very saucy version of Santa. One of his elves is a woman, Sarah Silverman.
Oh, okay.
And Sarah Silverman becomes the first female Santa. Is the idea of Santa Inc. And it's kind of like a terrible Amazon corporate thing that broy place that Santa has going, and I play his much beleaguered wife. And because this is saucy Santa, there's a lot of blowjob talk. A lot of
okay.
Just heads up, not for kids.
Okay, I was going to say there was a. I thought I might have seen it because there's a show very like that. But it doesn't have blowjob talking, and you're not in it. I would remember you being in it, and Sarah Silverman. So it wasn't the thing when you've got kids. You've got this. You're in a daze, and you suddenly go, "Oh, did I watch that? Even as an adult, did I watch that thing? This sounds familiar." Oh no, there was no blowjob. I was watching it with my children. There was no talk about blowjobs. It's all fine. This is a bit of a. It's not quite. We won't go into pockets again. But my new question that I like asking, that I think I've slightly blown with the pocket question, is if you, Maria Bamford, were like a caterpillar and could go into a chrysalis and dissolve and come out as anything you wanted. It doesn't have to be a person. It can be a person, and you could come out as anything, like a caterpillar to a butterfly. It can be that extreme, or it can be you with a pocket. But let's not do that. What would you like to turn into if you could chrysalize yourself?
Okay, and this thing doesn't exist.
Okay,
so
good.
It's just an imagine. I desperately want to be able to ride in someone's brain and see their thoughts and their experiences and their whatever it is, but I would just totally be, noticing. I wouldn't be in the brain having the same thoughts. I'd be like, on a riser.
Yeah.
Inside of their brain in a comfortable chair. And I could just see everything they thought, all the things that they're worried about, their plans, their feelings.
Yeah.
I'd like to be able to do that with anybody, anywhere, anytime, all the time.
Okay. So you could just choose the person. You can just hop between brains.
Yeah. And somebody say, oh, well, the lo-fi version of that is listening.
Who would you start with though? Who's going to be your first person's brain you would like to be inside to watch?
Well, probably my husband. I would like to see what's going on in his brain. Yeah, because he has just like know why somebody reacts to things in a certain way or how something makes somebody feel.
Yeah.
My husband loves music and I'm okay with music. Like, I understand when people go, yeah, I don't like comedy. I'm like, yeah, I get it. Like, music is good. If I hear something three times, I go, oh yeah, that's nice. But I've never, bought music.
Yeah. I'm the same.
Yeah. I've never bought it.
Yeah.
So you'd
like to be in the position where you understood what someone was getting from music. Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. If only you could ask your husband. If only he could talk.
And then take that time to hear. I know he blisses out. He says he blisses out, and then he just. Like time passes so quickly, like he'll just be at a live music event and he just like 2 hours have gone and he won't even notice that it's passed.
Right.
And I'm like, wow. So I do not know what that's like. I guess I would like to experience a little bit of it.
Yeah, I'd like to understand. I mean, I agree with you. I don't mind music, but I don't love music. And I think I'm a bit too anxious to go out and enjoy it in a scenario like that. I'm more worried. So if I'm at a gig like that, I think what I've worked out, I think, is I'm just worried about needing the toilet, and the toilets are horrible, and it's really and they're really packed, and so it's difficult to wee next to another man, and you'll always be like shoulder to shoulder with another man, if you are a man, and I think that might be partly it. But yeah, I can't really lose myself in. Do I lose myself in comedy? No, not in that way. But I like, you know, I prefer comedy to music.
I prefer comedy. I like, what do I like? I do like comedy. I can lose myself. Well, reality television.
Okay.
I enjoy a dumb show where people have decided to marry each other without meeting each other. I love that.
Okay.
While doing something like bookkeeping or ironing. I enjoy that. Also, my cults. I like being in cults. Yeah. I'm in a bunch of 12-step groups. I don't know how popular that is over there.
We know what it is.
What they are.
We've got it.
Yeah, they're it's huge here in LA, and we're in the epicenter of 12-step groups. But I love those are kind of like a hobby to me.
Okay.
Like I know I'm not changing at all. Like it's not. It's just, but it's still like Dungeons and Dragons for me. Like, it's just fun.
But you've done reality TV. You talk about it. Is it in Weaknesses, the brand? You talk about your appearance on a cookery reality show.
Oh, yeah. Worst Cook Celebrity Edition. And yeah. Man, I was very lucky to be considered a celebrity. Okay, who was on there? One of the Jacksons.
I think it was LaToya.
LaToya Jackson. Uh-oh. That's going to be our plumber. Can I hold on and just get this?
Yeah, go ahead.
So sorry.
No, don't worry.
Sorry. And now...
Oh.
Oh, come on. Oh, it's... She's not a screaming monster. She's just a baby.
What's she wearing? The dog? What's the costume she's got on?
The costume. It's a little brindle. It's like a little harness.
Oh, okay,
And then her brother's down here. I would pick him up, but he's 40 pounds.
Okay.
Oh, hey, come on now, kiddo. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Our dog is exactly the same, although. I can't pick up my dog either. It's a very, very big dog. But she, every time the doorbell goes or anyone's in the house or anyone's around the house, very good guard dog, but wouldn't do anything if they came into the house, of course.
No, yeah, she would lick their fingers and be ultimately delighted over here. Oh, my God. And now the plumber's now in the basement. Anyways, Richard, this is falling apart.
It's all right. I was gonna wrap up anyway, Maria.
Okay, we've done sorry.
We'll it's been really lovely to talk to you. Look, I can see that your house is falling apart and your dogs are going crazy. I would just remind everyone you're coming to Dublin on April the 21st and then Glasgow, Birmingham, Manchester, London, maybe an extra date in London, Amsterdam and Rotterdam. Fantastic new stand-up show, which I know everyone will enjoy. Always an absolute. I love you, Maria. Like properly love you, but in a, you know, I'm in love with you, but in the best sort of way. In that I just need to, I'll talk to you once every 5 years, and that's all we have to do.
It's the agape Episcopalian love show business is all about.
It is.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Richard, for your time. And yes, much love to you and your family and your doggies. And
thank you
so much. I'm excited to come to.
All right,
to
see you. Everyone, okay. Make German. The amazing Maria Bamford. Thank you very much. You have been listening to Rahalastapa with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Maria Bamford. Thank you very much to Scant Regard for playing this music. I'm indebted to Chris Evans, not that one, for setting up that transatlantic link. Thank you to Ian Zoom and Ian Zencaster for their help as well. I'm also indebted to Ben Walker, my regular producer. And thank you to Kathleen McKeegan from the fantastic Rahalastapa.com website, which helps me work out what I've asked people before. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStripe.com production. Head to GoFasterStripe.com. You can buy DVDs and books and downloads and all sorts of things, badges, and have all the fun in the world. Thank you very much for listening. See you again next week. Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Thanks for listening. Go to GoFasterStripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can. And make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.